beautiful prophetic song. My heart is craving for you, my God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Come on, somebody repeat that to me. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I want you to count on the count of three. I want you to read this scripture with me. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. On the count of three, one, two, three. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Come on, say that three times. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Now, we define the mind of Christ as an unlimited mindset. We define the mind of Christ as a superior mindset, a superior way of thinking, amen, that causes a superior way of acting, amen. Now, say that again. Say, I have the mind of Christ. The word Christ is translated the anointed one and his anointing. You and I right now have the same mindset that Jesus had. We have right now the same mindset that Jesus had. The same mind that he operated in. Amen. The mindset that he cast out devils with. The mindset that he created financial miracles with. The mindset that he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Theologically, we believe 15,000 people, the same mindset that he fed with five loaves and two fish. We have the same mindset. Come on, somebody say, I have the mind of Christ. As I said, the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, you can write it down. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says that the anointing's purpose is to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. So you have a mindset that has the ability, once acted upon in faith, to remove burdens. Come on, somebody say, remove burdens and destroy yokes. You have an anointed way of thinking. Praise God in heaven. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You can just go home on that right there. My God. Philippians chapter 2. My heart is craving for you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. When you get to somebody, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
On the count of three, let's read that scripture. One, two, three. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, in the context of this scripture, of this verse, it's talking about the humble mindset or the mindset of humility that Jesus operated in. But nevertheless, we have the ability to operate in the sum total of what Jesus operated in. When it's talking about his mind, it's not just talking about the humility side of Jesus. It's talking about the authoritative side of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much of the power of the enemy? All the power of the enemy. That means that a born again believer has the ability to trample underfoot every work of the devil. None being exempt. That means you have the power to put to flight every devil in hell, every sickness, every disease, poverty, lack. You have that ability on the inside of you because you have the mind of Christ. But here is the prerequisite. You have to allow that mind to work through you. You have to allow that mind to work through you. Amen. Now, Proverbs 23 and 7. Let's just build it up right quick. Proverbs 23 and 7. Say, neighbor, say, neighbor, I have the mind of Christ. I have a superior mindset. I have an unlimited mindset. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm just showing you who you are right quick, but I'm about to reveal some stuff in a minute here. Verse 7, when you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. On the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Stop right there. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The word thinketh means estimate or value or esteem. The word heart means mind. So as you estimate, value, or esteem in your thinking, in your mind, so are you. That means we are a direct reflection of how we think. You're not a direct reflection of necessarily your environment, because you have an anointing on the inside of you that if you start changing the way you think, you can elevate yourself past your environment. This is why relationships are so important, because when you hang around the wrong people, with the wrong people comes a way of thinking. That's why people who are poor generally hang with people who are poor, because they don't want to hang with a person that has wealth, because it might make them feel lower than themselves. You don't feel lower than yourself. What actually happens is that you start seeing your inadequacy. Hear what I'm saying here? That's why when people marry a person that has a different mindset above them, they don't stay together very long, except they change, because birds of a feather flock together. Amen. This is important that you understand this, because this is why we can understand we have relationships that are detrimental when we should have relationships that are instrumental for our life. But we have to do away with toxic and poisonous mindsets and thinking that causes us to think low of ourselves. Now, let me just show you something right here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's talk about toxic and poisonous mindsets. Because sometimes people have had things happen to them as little children, or some people have been wounded and scarred in their hearts. And those toxic and poisonous mindsets don't just affect them, but they affect every single person that they get around. You know how it is when you, something has happened to you and you get around other people, you poison them with what has happened to you. That's why people who have become successful has learned how to put away the past. You can't become successful and move towards your future if you can't let go of the past. Well, some people say, well, God told me to forgive, but he never told me to forget. Yes, he did tell you to forget. Paul said, those things that are behind me, I forget them. I forget those things that are behind me so I can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Literally, you and I, when we got born again, another mindset came on us. Another way of thinking came upon us. Another way of acting and responding to our life circumstances came upon us. And guess what? We have to renew our mind to get rid of all of those old toxic, poisonous mindsets in order for God to use what the mind of Christ is on the inside of us. Look at Romans chapter 12. Turn it. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Hey, your neighbor, say, neighbor. Today, I make a conscious decision to get rid of toxic and poisonous mindsets. And I'm going to bring some of them out. I'm just going to bring some of them out. Before I read and start building on Romans 12, see, some people have toxic and poisonous mindsets of lust. Come on. Come on, talk back to me. Amen. You can tell when you have a toxic and poisonous mindset of lust because it consumes your thinking. This is detrimental to your purpose. Because the Bible says a person that keeps his spirit is one that can take a city. You can't take a city unless you are able to keep your spirit. It's talking about discipline and self-control. You and I cannot allow our mindset just to run rampant. We cannot allow our thoughts just to run rampant. As believers, as the body of Christ, amen, we can't allow those things to happen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 3, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Somebody say imaginations. Imaginations is talking about those toxic, poisonous mindset, those thinking, those thoughts that control you and that rule you and that hold you shackled. See, there's a whole lot of people that are in prison that have never been past the walls of a department correctional officer. People are in prison in their own homes. People are in prison in the church house. People are in prison at their jobs because they're in prison in their mind. Because something else is controlling you and you're not controlling it. But the Bible says when you get born again, you have the mind of Christ. So you have to dismantle and dethrone the toxic mindset of lust. Some people have anger. Come on, somebody say anger. This is very powerful tool, because if you study generational curses, the anger's type and shadow of what its image is a hornet. Every person you get around, you sting them, because something may have happened to you on the inside of you. And every time somebody cross you wrong, they experience the bee sting. Come on, somebody say amen to this. It's quiet in this church today. It's quiet in this church today. The Bible says the anger of man cannot work the righteousness of God. I'm going to say it again. The anger of man cannot work the righteousness of God. The book of Proverbs says that don't hang around an angry person lest you become like them. Now you can smile to me, but the Lord knows your heart. Come on, somebody say amen. This is important. That's a toxic, poisonous mindset. Amen. Poverty thinking. See, it doesn't matter if you only make $5,000 a year. What matters is how you think. Because if you make $5,000 a year, you can change what you make based upon how you think. And you can't be jealous of somebody else if they're successful. See, I had a very toxic, poisonous mindset concerning poverty. I was telling them in the classes today. See, when I see somebody with a new car, I'd get jealous. Or I saw somebody with a new house, and guess what? I would take my Christianity and clothe it like Judas did and say, you don't need to do that with the money. How come they got to have that house? How come they got to have that car? How come they got to have that? The preacher must be taking the money. This one must be taking that. See, when you got a poverty mindset, that stuff bother you. But if Bill Gates went to a church where a preacher had a Rolls Royce, it wouldn't even bother him. Come on. Because he don't think like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, you got to change your thinking right where you are right now. Because if you don't change your stinking thinking, you're going to remain where you are. You can cover it up however you want to cover it up, but the Spirit of God is coming after you. Hear what I'm saying? The Spirit of God is coming after you. He wants, like my daughter said, he wants all of you. He don't just want some of you. He don't just want you on Sunday morning. He wants all of you. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Look what it says here. I beseech you. I was telling them in the class today. The word beseech means to come alongside of and beg. Tell your neighbor, said, I'm begging you. He said, I beg you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies. You present your bodies. You present your bodies. Circle the ye there. Y-E. Circle the ye there. The ye is talking about the real you. The real you. Made in the image. Made in the likeness of God. You present your body. Your body is not you. Your body is your earth suit. Therefore, your body and all of its sensory mechanisms should not control you. Because if you're controlled by your senses, and I'm going to talk about the difference between spiritual and carnal. If you are controlled by your senses, then guess what? You cannot tap into the things of God. Doesn't matter how much God loves you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. It's awful quiet in here. Doesn't matter how much God loves you. Don't matter how much you say you love God. You can never tap into the spiritual things if you're ruled by your physical body. Because God will tell you to do things that is against your sense realm. God always violates that which you see to be logical. He does that all the time. It's funny how God operates. Amen. You see the story in the Bible where the man was blind and he wanted to see, and Jesus took mud, spit on it, rubbed it in his eyes, then did it again, rubbed it in his eyes until the man could see. Now, if a preacher stood up today and spit on some mud and rubbed it in somebody's eyes, he'd be on the front page of the Daily Telegram. Come on, somebody say amen. But you know what the Spirit of God is doing? Come on, somebody say, we are the church. We are the church. Come on, say it again. We are the church. One more time. We are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. And the Spirit of God is raising us up so we can know who we are, so we can be who we are, and quit playing around with this world system. Amen? Amen. We need some real believers. Somebody say real believers that ain't satisfied with just coming to church. Amen? This is my life. Somebody say, I beseech you. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed. Be not conformed. Somebody say, be not conformed. Word conformed means to be fashioned together with. He said, be not conformed to the world system. Don't be fashioned together with the world system. What does that mean? As the world goes, so you go with the world. He said, don't do that right there. He said, but be ye transformed. Then he tells you how? By the renewing of your mind. So you mean to tell me I can be born again and I can have an inheritance and never tap into it because I don't transform the way I think? Absolutely. Absolutely. There is on the inside of every single person in this room the ability to think far and beyond the mindset of this world system and the ability to accomplish past that. I'm telling you right now, we are moving into some days where the church is going to stand on the top of the mountain and all nations is going to flow into it to hear the voice of the God of Jacob. And I promise you that right now, we are in the days where the church won't be looked at as some turkey giving committee. Or some type of toy-driven committee. The church ain't going to be no handout no more. It's going to be a powerful force. A unit of believers on the earth. Walking throughout the earth. Laying hands on the sick. Casting out devils. Taking over businesses. You got to catch this. We're talking about the church of the living God. The most powerful, vital, living organism on planet earth. We're going to move into communities like a cancer. I promise you that. You better hear this word of God. We are getting to the place where we're going to move into communities like a cancer and eat up every single thing that's not like his word. I promise you that. That's why this word is being taught like this right here. Because the kingdom of God suffer violence, but the violent is taking it by force. Getting tired of seeing people be without fathers and mothers be divorced from their husbands and drugs and all kind of alcohol running the streets and people barely getting into the house of God because they're shameful and they're full of guilt. But them days are over. I prophesy. I'm releasing angels at the four corners of this city right now. You got to hear what I'm saying. Glory to God. He said, be transformed. By the renewing of your mind. Somebody say renewing. The word renewing means to renovate. It means to take out all the old. Get all the old way of thinking out of there. See, can I be real, y'all? We done learned how to bring the old man in the church and dress him up and make him look like the part. But the Holy Ghost know our heart. And he's going after all of us. I promise you this right now. He's going after every single intricate, detailed part of our lives. And he's going to control it and he's going to dominate it until he gets the glory. Man. The Bible says when you transform your thinking, you're able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's talk about the will of God. That means that, listen, you can't enforce the will of God unless you have a renewed mindset. That's why when people ask me all the time, they say, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. I tell them, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, you need to meditate it. And you need to go 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. You need to meditate it. You need to think on it. Because guess what? I promise you this. I'm going to be a real pastor. You cannot tap into what God called you to do and be being carnal. Amen. You can't do it. Amen. You'll be one of them pew-warming Christians your whole life. Amen. How many want the things of God? For real. I'm talking about the real things of God. I'm talking about people who wasn't even full of the Holy Ghost watched the Red Sea part open. People who wasn't even full of the Holy Ghost, a man's dead body who was a prophet, dropped on some bones and the bones resurrected. We're talking about in the Old Testament. People who wasn't even filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is in us, upon us, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, our standby. I told in our class this morning that the disciples cast out devils and raised the dead before the Spirit of God. Before they was filled, they cast out devils and raised the dead. You know why they did it? Because they believed it. For 3.5 years, Jesus taught them what they were and what they can do. Glory to God. So we're going to teach this thing until you, every time the hospital door open, you running up in there laying hands on somebody. Well, Pastor, what if it don't work? Guess what? There's been a lot of times it did not work in my life. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a lot of times it did work. See, I prayed for somebody and that person died. But I prayed for another person and they said he was going to die. And he had like 4 or 5 hours to live and he's up walking around right now. You got to catch what I'm saying. Glory be to God. My God. What scripture did I tell you to turn to? Matthew chapter 6. You there? Somebody say praise the Lord. We're talking about the will of God here. We're going to move over into something else. Just a second here. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 9 there. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Look at verse 10. Thy kingdom what? Now, did he tell you to pray for you to go? Come on now, let's look at the Bible. Did he tell you to pray for you to go? See, most saints are like, come on, Lord, I want to get out of here. This world is getting bad. These people are evil. I can't stand these evil people. You know what I mean? They taking all the lollipops from my kids. And, you know, that's just how people are right now. Amen. They want to find some type of escapism mindset. But Jesus didn't say, pray that you will go. He said, pray that the kingdom will come. Now, what is the kingdom of God? It's the rule, the reign of God, the realm of God in and through mankind. So you mean to tell me, Pastor Claude, that God rules through mankind? Yes, he does. God gets the glory. Listen, God gets the glory when he does exploits in and through you in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? See, when you own a business and you are employing people and you can establish prayer in your business, you can establish Bible study in your business, you can establish anything in your business. You know why? Because you own it. But for so long, and it's too long now, Christians have been working for heathens and we can't pray at the job, can't bring your Bible to the job, can't talk about the word on the job, but they talking about whoremongering, having sex, adultery, fornication, all kind of stuff like that. Guess what? Them days are over. I'm telling you right now. Them days are over because God is raising up some real believers. Somebody say glory to God. See, because guys that work for me, guess what? Well, I don't even like saying work for me. The guys that work with me, amen, we talk about the word. Whenever I'm on the job with them, we talk about the word. We spraying hoods and talking the word. Am I telling the truth? Amen. You work for anything that my wife and I in control of, you're going to become a disciple. See, I'm prophesying this right here. See, God going to raise up businesses because that's the proper way of making disciples. Not just coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday. People got to eat, right? So why are they at work? Why not give them the word? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise. I'm trying to tell you something. I done lost my page. He said the kingdom will come. Watch this right here. When the kingdom come, what's the next words? Thy will be done. Where? In earth as it is in heaven. Watch this right here. Now turn to Matthew chapter 18. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. God wants his will done in earth identical to heaven. Come on, say this. Say, God wants his will done in earth identical to heaven. Now, let me ask you this right here. Is there any divorce in heaven? Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any disease in heaven? Is there any poverty in heaven? Well, God wants his will that's in heaven done in earth. And see, here's the problem. For so many times we said, okay, God, do it, God, do it. And this is what God is saying. I want to do it, but I need somebody that can allow my will to flow through them. Because the legal entrance to occupy earth is in the physical body. Think about this. Everything the devil gets done is through a person. Now, I know you watch Amityville Horror like I did when I was a kid. and the walls was bleeding. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They made the devil look so powerful. You know, that's what I like about them Christian movies, Left Behind and all that stuff. You know what I mean? The devil walk in the room, he got a black cape on. You know what I mean? And he turned and all the believers, and they screaming, you know. That ain't God's will. That's not God's will. The devil ain't that. He ain't got no power. The only power that Satan has is the power of getting your thinking messed up. That's the only power he has. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory to God. Matthew 18. Look what it says here in verse 18. On the count of three, let's read it together. One, two, three. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever. Stop right there. Whatsoever. 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 I'm just letting it burn in your head. What is it that you're going through? Whatsoever. What is it that you desire? Whatsoever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatsoever you shall bind. The word bind means to pronounce binding and obligatory. It's actual a legal term, which means to legislate. Now, I'm trying to show you something here. Whatever you legislate on earth shall be legislated in heaven. I'm trying to show you something here. See, when you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, you begin to legislate what God has already said. Is this over somebody here today? Are you catching what I'm saying here? The more you transform your thinking according to God's word, what begins to come out of your heart, out of your thinking, out of your mouth is God's word. See, I can promise you this right here. You can take the words that you are saying, put them on a tape recorder, trace what you're watching on television, who you hang around with, your bloodline, and you'll find out why you talk the way you talk. I'm just going to go throw back. Remember Juvenile? She get it from her mama. Remember that? Y'all remember that? Amen. I'm trying to show you something. I'm not trying to just super be funny, but I'm trying to show you something right here. That everything that you are is based upon your experiences, your environment, the things that you've been around, what you've been exposed to, everything that you are, the way you act, the way you respond. Well, if you change your experiences, if you change your environment, and you change what you're exposed to, then guess what? You can change your outcome in life. That's God's will. See, God wants his will that is done in heaven. He wants it done in earth. If there's no divorce, he wants no divorce here. If there's no sickness, he wants no sickness here. If there's no disease, he wants no disease here. Prove it. Read the synoptic gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every single time Jesus encountered anything that was opposed to God's word or will, he changed it. My God. Y'all learning something today? Now, let's see what hinders it. Romans chapter 8. Turn it. Romans chapter 8. Let's see what hinders it. Oh, no. Pastor Claude bringing out the Greek and the Hebrew. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 5. We're gonna bless you today. Tell your neighbor, say, I have the mind of Christ. I am able to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Listen, you have been anointed. Every time a person comes around you that has a yoke or a burden, you should be laying your hands on them. Not the pastor. Amen. You can do it. Mark chapter 16 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say, these signs shall follow the pastors. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Yeah. Are you a believer? Yeah. Amen. Now we're going to get specific. See, if you don't believe that Jesus still heals, guess what? Then you're not a believer in that category. You might believe on Jesus, but you might not believe in that area. So you got to build your faith up by meditating the word and seeing what Jesus' promises are for right now. Not just what used to happen, but what happens now. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at the hindrance. You ready? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. I am right now removing toxic and poisonous thinking from my mindset. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the due mind, the things of the what? And they that are after the, they do mind the things of what? Verse 6. For to be carnally. Somebody say carnally. Carnally minded is what? Now stop right there. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. The Bible is the Bible. It says to be carnally minded is death. The word carnal literally means to be controlled by your sense realm. To be body ruled. To be controlled by your sense realm and your body ruled is death. Now watch this right here. Watch this. But to be spiritually minded. Now I want you to circle that. Say, I am spiritually minded. Now, I'm gonna define to you what spiritually minded is, because a lot of people take it to the extreme. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Now, make no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you are spiritual, you're going to experience life and peace. Now, life ain't just, oh, life like we define it. This life is supernatural. It's the God kind of life. Life that continues to redevelop itself. Here's what I mean. Life never stops existing. Hear what I'm saying? God is eternal. And the Bible said, in him is life. And that life is the light of men. Then it said, the light shines in the darkness, and men didn't comprehend it, or they didn't understand it. What caused men not to understand it? Because they were carnal. They were controlled by their sensory mechanism. Amen? Now, look, let's see what being spiritual is. Turn to John chapter 6, verse 63. St. John, I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but I'm helping you here today. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Now remember, when a person is carnally minded, somebody say carnally minded, the outcome is death. This is the hindrance to everything God has promised us right here. Carnality. We got far too many carnal Christians. We do. And it's time, we got far too many. I'm not speaking negative. I'm just saying what it is. We got far too many. And guess what? A good pastor will challenge you to come out of that carnality. We got far too many carnal Christians. Too many people sit in the pews and have no consciousness of God's presence. Them days got to stop. You just can't listen. We are moving to the days, and I'm pressing for it in this church. We are moving to the days that the presence of God will be so strong in the room that you're not going to be able to come in here and have no reverence. Come on, somebody say amen. Be on the cell phone talking while the pastor preaching. Or passing love notes to your girlfriend. Them days are over. I'm telling you. Because we going to pray until the thing hit. The power was so strong. Y'all hear me say it, and a lot of people get scared. But in Acts chapter 5 and chapter 6, the power of God was so strong that when they lied to the Holy Ghost, they dropped dead. New Testament, not Old Testament. New Testament. How's that power going to get here? By saints praying. It's already on the inside of us, but we have to get our minds renewed to what we have. That's why Ephesians chapter 1 says this right here, that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we might know the hope to which he has called us, that we might know the inheritance of glory that's on the inside of us, and that we might know the exceeding greatness of his power that is toward them, or in and for them who believe. The same identical power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him down at his own right hand, far above principality and power, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's why that prayer is being prayed, because God wants us to know. Tell your neighbor, say, he wants you to know. He don't want you to be ignorant of his power. He wants you to know his power. The apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, everything that was gained to me, I counted it as loss, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness which is of my own, but a righteousness which is of faith. He counted everything as empty, dung, without any type of ability. He counted it all as loss so that he can win Christ. So God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. And he wants you to know everything about him. My God, glory to God. John chapter 6, verse 63. Let's define what spiritual is. You ready? Let's read verse 63 together on the count of three. One, two, three. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth Stop right there. The flesh does what? The flesh does what? So when you live a carnal lifestyle, it's not going to profit you anything. Sin only lasts for a season. Amen. That toxic mindset and those illicit way of thinking, that stuff only lasts for a season. Come on, somebody say amen to this. It profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are what? They are spirit. So to be spiritual means to be dominated by God's word. Spiritual ain't being spooky. Spiritual is not being spooky. Okay? To be spiritual is to be dominated by God's word. I know spooky people who don't tithe. That'll make you spiritual. I know spooky people who don't come to church on a regular basis. They're not spiritual. They're spooky. They're crusaders. They hop from one church to... Can I be a real pastor today? Amen. Why am I throwing this stuff out there? Because I wanted to get inside of you so the convicting power of the Holy Spirit can put some type of loyalty, faithfulness, and something on the inside of you, because God got to get his job done in the earth. Amen. Glory to God. See, you become like who you hang around with the most. When you start hanging around Jesus, you're going to start becoming like him. The book of Acts said that the apostles turned the world upside down, and the people recognized it, and they said, these men must have been with Jesus. My God. Look at verse, back in Romans. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity, or an enemy against God. Carnality is an enemy to the things of God. Watch this right here. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I like the B part. It can't be. A person who is carnal cannot be subject to God. No matter how hard they try, they cannot be subject to God. Because they're ruled and governed by their sense realm. God will tell you, listen, can I just throw it on out there? God will tell you to be faithful to church. The devil will convince you that you don't need to be faithful to a church. The devil will convince you that you don't even need a pastor. How you can properly serve God at home by yourself, you and your family, and get your revelation from God. When that's totally against God's word. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us we need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Do you know apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers need pastors? Somebody say amen. 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 See, we come into the days where the body is being pulled together. Go like this. The body is being pulled together. You know how it's going to get pulled together? Because of the anointing and the image of a father. It's going to pull the whole body together, because when you get the father right, the whole household gets right. I'm trying to show you something right here. So the fathers are going to begin to speak, and they're speaking now, and the whole body is going to be pulled together as an army. Amen. No more welfare mindset. Come on, somebody say amen. No more of that. We ain't going to conquer nothing with a welfare mindset. Can I be a real pastor now? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to change your thinking. No more dope boy mindset. All of that stuff got to go in the kingdom of God. You can't take the dope boy mentality and bring it into the church. You can't do that. You can't take a ghetto mentality and bring it into the church. Come on, somebody say amen to this. We're talking about God owns everything. God don't need us to scheme and to hustle to get things done. This some tight teaching today, ain't it? Amen. Romans chapter 8. Look at this right here. It says, so then they that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. Circle that. I want you to never forget this. They that are in the flesh. Now, let me define flesh even more. If you are still operating according to that toxic, poisonous way of thinking, you are in the flesh. My God, help us, Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter that your mama and them did it like that. It don't matter that your daddy and them did it like that. What matters is, are they doing it according to God's word? See, some of us like to please our family more than we like to please God. Amen. Come on, Pastor. Come on. How many want to see the power of God? It's going to take this kind of teaching to get us there. I promise you, it's going to take this kind of butt-whooping teaching to get us there. Amen. You know how you can tell when people are carnal? They don't show up to prayer. You can't tell me how much you pray at home. Come on, somebody say amen. You pray at home, that's selfish. Because guarantee you, if I record you, you're praying for yourself. You're praying for your needs to get met and what you want to get done. But guess what? A person that truly is not walking in carnality is selfless. See, the Holy Spirit even arrested me for praying for just specifically the needs of the church. He said, son, I want you to pray for the big picture, the whole entire body of Christ. I want you to pray for the big picture. And guess what? It was written in me because some of the people that I'm praying for, they said lies about me. And God want me to still pray for them. Because his picture is bigger than my little bitty image of God picture. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, God going to get the glory when every church in Adrian is filled with the Spirit of God. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit give them utterance, walking in the power of God, walking the anointing of God, and all the pastors are united. That's how the kingdom of God is going to take complete rule and reign. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap, because I know that's true. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is why. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. Don't turn there. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Now, you can just take that scripture, Hebrews 11, chapter 1, verses, Hebrews 11, 11, verse 1 through 6. Write it down and meditate it. You cannot please God walking in the flesh. Why? Because faith is a product of your human spirit. Faith is a product of your human spirit. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible. Somebody say impossible. It's impossible to please God when you walk in the flesh. Because there's no faith involved. I'm going to say that again. It's impossible to please God when you walk in the flesh. Because there's no faith involved. Faith is a product of your human spirit. When you meditate God's word, faith comes out of your human spirit. It don't come out of your head. You can believe with your head, but faith comes out of your spirit. Can I just prove it? That's why some people can believe something so bad that they'll strap a bomb to their back and die because they believe it. But believing and faith is two different things. Faith is supernatural. Believing is mental. Glory to God. Help us, Holy Ghost. See, we were taught that we believe with our heart, but you got to study original language. The word heart means mind. That means you got to get the right beliefs in your mind. Amen. Is that all right, sis? Woo-wee. Anybody booty sore? Anybody got a sore booty today? Here we go. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. Amen. Go to verse 14. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, these are the what? The sons of God. My God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Hey, you said, neighbor, no more toxic, poisonous thinking. See, you gotta cast it down. You gotta cast it down. See, let me just tell you this right here. I'm not telling you to do something that I'm not operating in my own life. I promise you, I'm operating in it. Because let me tell you something. There's been 100 times the enemy has challenged my thinking this week, and the Holy Ghost said, no, no, no. And every time I obey him, I get stronger, and I get stronger. And I get stronger because resistance builds strength. Are you catching what I'm saying? You got to resist the devil. You got to resist him in your thought life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't just let your thoughts run wild. I don't know what we're going to do this month. I don't know how we're going to pay this. I don't know how we're going to do that. That's resist him. Steadfast in the faith, the Bible says. Resist him. Stand against him. Oppose him. When he start talking, speak the word back. That's what happened. The devil didn't appear physically with Jesus. He came to his thoughts in Luke chapter 4. He said, if you be the Son of God, take this stone and turn it into bread. And Jesus resisted him. My God, are you catching this right here? Resist him. Take him and say, resist him. That's what the word said, fight the good fight of faith. Are you getting fed today? Are you growing up today? Amen. See, the Holy Ghost wants us to be real believers. And I don't say that loosely, because we need some champions. See, I remember back in the day when I would get into an altercation with somebody, I knew I had 3 or 4 or 5 guys that I can call up and let's go handle this. But nowadays, you got to be very careful who you call up when you get into a spiritual altercation. Because a lot of people walking in carnality. See, when somebody on their deathbed, you need to have the right people with you. Scriptural reference. Jesus went to heal a young boy. He took the family and kicked them out the house. Because even the family was in unbelief. And he only took Peter, James, and John in there with him. Why? Because he knew they could handle the spiritual altercation that they were going through. That's why it's important that you be careful who you hang around with. Amen. See, if you're hanging around people that think down here, they ain't going to let you come up. Because once you try to come up, they're going to say, you think you better than somebody. You think you know more than somebody. So every time you try to come up, you think this, you think that, you think this. But guess what? Just go ahead and kick them to the side and think. I'm trying to elevate your thinking right now. Amen. Just go ahead, just move them on out the way. Go find somebody else. Amen. Well, Pastor, that ain't love. Yes, it is love. See, God wanted to, my God, help me, Holy Ghost. God wanted to deliver Israel from Goshen and that old system of the world. So he chose a man. He took the man, separated the man from them, and then brought the man back to him. You can't help your friends the way you are. Sometimes God got to separate you from them. Because if you keep hanging around them, your testimony going to be blown. They puffing on it. Guess what? Next thing you know, you're going to be like, Lord Jesus, you understand and you love me. Even Pastor said you love me, so. Somebody say amen. I gave you the analogy. If I take that chair and stand on top of that chair and get the smallest kid in this room, he can pull me off before I can pull him up. It's easy to pull people down. And see, you got to be smart enough and intelligent enough to know and discern if you're being pulled down. Come on, somebody say amen to this. See, you got to elevate your thinking. Find yourself in God's word. God, what do you have for me? What is your plans for me? I know it's something big, God. I can sense it in my spirit, God. So I need to get around the right people, Lord. I need to connect with a good church, a spiritual church. A church is going, so I need to do that. Why? Because I need to be taught who I am. I want to go somewhere in life, God. Come on, if that's your cry, raise your hand. Amen. You got to, I'm telling you, come on. You got to do it. Glory to God. Colossians 3, and I'm going to end right here. I'm just going to throw it on out there. This don't apply to any of you guys because you guys are here. But do you know what? When I was with Pastor Healy, do you know Pastor Healy could always depend on me? Always. He didn't have to stand behind the podium and wonder where I was. This is real talk. Somebody say this is real talk. What is more important than hearing God's word? I mean, somebody just throw it back at me. Somebody tell me. Is it paying your bills? Is it your kids? That's why most people's kids ain't even serving God, because the parents won't put them first. Come on, somebody say amen to this. I mean, do you tell me what's more important than hearing God's word? Let us reason together. You should never miss a church service. Come hell or high water. If you're in a hospital, guess what? You know what? Have church service in the bed. You know what I mean? Call three or four elders of the church. We go there, lay some oil on your forehead, rub you down with Crisco. Get you up out the bed. You'll be all right. Amen. But I'm talking about you got to get to the place in your life where nothing is more important than this. Kenneth Copeland said when we was at the conference, he said, the most important decision you ever make in your life is what church you go to. If you're getting fed the word of God, then you need to be there every time the doors is open. But pastor, I got a job. Well, guess what? That thing gonna keep you in bondage. You better walk up to that Pharaoh and say, hey, let me go. Now, I'll come and I'll stock your counters and I'll shine your shoes and I'll do all that. But on Sunday, I'm serving God. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Because what's gonna happen is when you put God first, you won't be shining his shoes. He'll probably be shining yours. I got one hand clap. Amen. We're gonna finish it right here. Chapter 3. Here's a question. If you then be risen with Christ, seek. Somebody say seek. Aim at. Strive for. Pursue. Those things which are above. Somebody say above. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Now, I remember, and I told you guys this before. I remember when I first read this scripture, I thought it meant seek heaven. That's what I thought. You know, don't seek earthly things. Don't desire a new car. You know, just live in the box. One day Jesus gonna come. Amen. Somebody say amen. I thought that's what it meant. But I'm a bust the devil in the mouth right now. God wants you so blessed. I mean, so blessed that when you driving down the street, heads turning. God wants you that blessed. God wants your marriage so blessed that everywhere you are, people looking at you and your wife. And saying, how did they get there? God wants you so blessed financially. We're just going to smack the devil in the face. God, you know why he wants you blessed? Because it's your inheritance. The Bible said that he owns it all. And you're his children. So why would he own it all and let the heathens have it all? Let's just get this right. This scripture is not talking about this. God wants you blessed. You know how much money? Let me just say this right here. Kenneth Copeland said he spent over $500 million on the gospel so far. Let me say that figure again. $500 million on the gospel. I'm going to say it again. $500 million on the gospel. It costs to preach the gospel. Don't think we're just sitting in this building for free. Come on, somebody say amen to this. This is important. That's why God wants you blessed. He wants you blessed so when you get the word of God, you can come back and help sow into the kingdom so we can go ahead and get them folks $33,000 and get all of our new stuff in our new building. Come on, somebody say amen. It costs. We can't be presenting the gospel like we some old soup kitchen. We can't do that. And there's nothing wrong with a soup kitchen because it has its place. But I can keep giving people soup every day or I could teach them how to make their own soup. My God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It says, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The word right hand means the hand that takes, not the hand that begs. The hand that takes. It means equal authority, equal honor, equal dignity. Verse 2. Everybody read with me. Count to 3. 1, 2, 3. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse 3. For you are... And your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. God wants you to elevate your mind and set your mind on the higher things. The things that are above. And he specifically told you where? Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. My God. The Bible said in Ephesians 1 that the right hand of God is far above principality. Far above might. Far above power. Far above dominion. That's where God wants your mind to be. Tell your neighbor, say, God wants your head in the clouds. People say, get your head out the clouds. You know what they're saying? Don't hope. Don't hope. Don't use your faith. Listen, I dare you to find a problem you're going through in your life right now. Run a reference on that problem in the Word of God and start meditating scriptures on that. You know what's going to happen? Faith going to come. And it's just a matter of time before you step out of that problem. on top of that problem. And then you'll be able to help somebody else that's in that problem. I dare you. I dare you. I double dog dare you to believe God. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Shall I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? I dare you to believe him. I dare you to give that word first place in your life. Amen. That ain't just a book to teach you how to live right. No. That's the covenant. Oh my God. You gotta get the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, it's the covenant. It's the covenant. The blood covenant. You got to hear what I'm saying. When Jesus shed his blood, covenant was cut. It means literally, the word covenant means to cut. You remember when we was little kids and we used to cut our finger and we have a covenant with our friend? How many ever did that? You ever did that? I did that when I was a kid. You know what I mean? And he got in a fight, you got in a fight with him. He ate a popsicle. You know what I'm saying? He gave me half. Yeah, come on, somebody say amen. God cut a covenant with you. I'm going to have to teach on the covenant. I'm going to have to teach on the covenant. God cut a covenant with you. A blood covenant. Meaning, you do this, and I'm going to do this. Trust him. Trust him. Come on, somebody say trust him. If you just trust him, quit thinking that you know it all. I remember I used to see preachers talking about, you know what I'm saying? God wants you blessed, and I'm looking at his ring. I'm like, look at that ring right there. All I got to do is pawn that ring in. I could pay all my notes for a whole year. That's the first way I thought. Come on, somebody say amen. I come outside, I'm driving a 1982 Monte Carlo that's loud. Bop, 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 and the pastor driving a Lexus. You can't even hear it run. And I'm like, well, yeah, he is blessed. And I'm counting. I'm sitting there carnal. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Man, it's like 600 people in this church. All they got to do is $610. 600 times 10. My God, I'll be blessed too. That's the first thing came through my head. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Look at his suit he got on. Big yellow guy with a light blue suit. My nephew said it looked like a picnic table. But anyhow. Amen. See? Men of God ain't trying to get nothing from you. They're trying to get something to you. See, the promises of God are accessed by faith. If you don't exercise faith in the financial realm, you ain't going to benefit from it. If you keep coming to church, can I finish up, y'all? My God, it's 10 minutes after one. This must be a good butt-whooping service. You can't operate in faith, keep $2 in God. After you done took care of Joe Smo and Consumers Energy and this one, that, and PlayStation and new game and videos all week long and eating ice cream and cookies and all that, then you come to church and put $3.50 in the offering plate and then expect God. Well, I put $3.50 in the offering plate and God didn't move. You told me I get a 100-fold return. Amen. Tell them, say, neighbor. God requires all of you. Now, he ain't tell you to put your whole check in offering. He said 10%. Now, what's 10% of $100? Not a dollar. Not a dollar. Not a dollar. Am I preaching right, brother? Am I preaching right? And it'd be the, watch this, it'd be the same people that never give to God complain about what they're going through. Amen. Praise the Lord. This good teaching, ain't it? The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. You know why you're experiencing death in the financial area? Because you carnal concerned in that. Lord, have mercy. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I got some good news. Your pastor is going to be ordained by Pastor Bill Winston March 2012. Might not mean much to you, but it's been a dream of mine. Amen. And God opened the doors. They called me a few days ago and sent me everything that needs. And so I'm letting y'all know, excellence is going up because they already sent me. I got to give them a year-end report on how many souls get saved, how many people get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I got to give them, you know why? Because they want to hold us accountable. Amen. Somebody say amen. And you know what? I need the men. All the men stand up for me. We're going to end right now. All the men stand up. My God, get them in a hand clap. Women, look around. Look at all these men.